Moin Moin, hier ist die Footballerei, NFL Freischnauze live.
Herzlich willkommen, es ist Sonntag, es ist kurz nach 19 Uhr, wir sind live auf Twitter Spaces. Wir freuen uns heute einen Gast zu haben, einen Gast, mit dem wir gleich Englisch sprechen werden. Das ist Philipp Friis-Andersen, ist Kicker und Panther bei den Hamburg Sea Devils. Wahrscheinlich der Name, der neben Marto London in dieser Liga aufgekommen ist, die man vorher nicht kannte, der jetzt sehr, sehr bekannt ist. Zu dem kommen wir gleich. Vorher würden wir einmal nochmal über die Ergebnisse heute sprechen. Gab ja eine große Entscheidung, die noch offen war. Das waren die Frage, wer wird das zweite Playoff-Team? Damit auch der Gegner der Sea Devils, der Gegner von Philipp in der nächsten Woche. Das ist relativ deutlich ausgegangen aus meiner Sicht. Es war 21-13 am Ende, aber war schon im vierten Viertel ziemlich klar, dass die Panther gewinnen werden. Haben 21-7 geführt, haben dann noch eine Interception zugelassen, einen Pass und dann kam Leipzig nochmal ran, aber ohne Chance. Daneben hat Berlin Thunder überraschend deutlich 38-0 gegen Stuttgart Search verloren. Damit Stuttgart wirklich auch von den Scores her das schlechteste Team der ELF, hat nur zwei Spiele gewonnen. Thunder und ich glaube noch ein weiteres Team, Barcelona, haben drei gewonnen, also das nochmal überraschend. Und in Frankfurt hat so ein bisschen die zweite Garde gespielt, die haben aber trotzdem 45-7 gegen Köln gewonnen. Ich glaube, das Spiel ist aber nochmal wirklich ohne Bedeutung, weil sie sich in einer Woche wieder treffen. Das war so ein bisschen die Ergebnisse. Playoff-Spiele bedeutet, wir fangen an nächsten Samstag mit Galaxy gegen Köln. Ich glaube auch beide Spiele live auf ProSieben Max, was sehr, sehr schön ist. Und dann am Sonntag auch wieder um 15 Uhr Hamburg Sea Devils gegen Rocklaw Panthers, sehr, sehr spannend. Ole, wie hast du es gesehen? Gab es für dich irgendwelche Überraschungen?
Vielleicht nur die Deutlichkeit der Siege von der Galaxy. Wer war das andere?
Genau, einmal noch Stuttgart Search gegen Thunder, da hat Berlin ziemlich klar gewonnen.
Genau, von Thunder. Ich habe das Spiel zwischen den Panthers und den Kings im Fernsehen sehen können. Ein Kollege von mir war bei Stuttgart Search und hat mich da die ganze Zeit über den Spielstand informiert. Und ich sag mal, Stuttgart hat ja da auch ein paar Verletzungssorgen gehabt und einige junge Leute spielen lassen. Und das war wohl auch nicht so ganz schön, alles anzusehen.
Ja, also ich habe auch nur mitgelesen bei Twitter. Das war sah, glaube ich, ziemlich schlecht aus, was die Offensive aus Stuttgart da gemacht hat. Vielleicht noch ganz kurz die Info heute. Sind wir ohne Kutsche, wir sind ohne Caro und ohne Max. Dafür eben gerade schon am Mikro Ole von den Sunday Kicker oder Sunday Morning Kicker Podcast dabei. Freut mich sehr. Ich würde jetzt gerne anfangen mit Philipp, einmal auf Englisch wechseln. So, welcome here, Philipp. Really looking forward talking to you. How good is your German?
I understood most of what you guys were saying. But if you speak a little slower, I might be able to pick it up. But I'm starting to take some German classes and really using Duolingo. So at some point, hopefully, I'll be able to do them in German.
No, it sounds really good. But just try to know what kind of words you know. But I think it's your third stint in Germany already, right?
Yeah, third season. Yeah.
We would love to really start with the beginning where you started playing football and then going later on to the ELF season and what happened there. You started in 2012 as a wide receiver and I think also already punter for the Amager Demons. What made you start playing football in the first place?
It started out as just being interested in watching the Super Bowl. I watched that 1 year and then more and more, I started watching the regular seasons games year after year, and then I played soccer or football in on a very high level as a youth player. I was a goalkeeper, but around the age of 18, I kind of lost the interest in football, and that's when I really like wanted to try and pick up football and American football, and that's how I started with the Amager Demons, which was the local team where I lived.
No, sounds reasonable, but quite interesting to start as a goalkeeper, and then I think in the first season you were still wide receiver and punter, so you tried to like mix it up the skills you need as a goalkeeper there. So you kick the ball, and in the other hand you catch balls.
Yeah, exactly. Like they saw how like that I had good hands, so they were from the start they were like, all right, you got to be wide receiver, and I was like, all right, cool, let me try that, and I was like, I liked it. And I really enjoy playing wide receiver. And I did that for a few years after that while still kicking.
I think in 2014, you moved the first time to Germany, to Berlin, playing for the Atlas at the GFL level. And then you were still like primarily wide receiver, right? Or was it already that you just played like a couple of snaps as a wide receiver, but mostly as kicker and punter?
Kim Kuchi, he recruited me as a kicker and punter. But during the training camp, one of the wide receivers got injured and they needed a substitute. And I said, hey, I played wide receiver last year. And then they tried me out and I did well. So I started out as a rotational wideout. And later on in the season, I ended up starting, actually.
Quite interesting. But you started as a punter, or was it kicking and punting? I mean, both for all the time playing, because I think it's really interesting. There are not that many punter and kicker on that level you're playing. So why are you skilled at both?
I don't know. Like I've focused a lot on kicking. So I've always considered myself a kicker that can punt. And you see some combo guys in the league, but most of the time, yeah, like you said, you focus on one thing. But in Germany, like you just add value to yourself the more positions you play. So I just kept like punting, and I have done a good job so far. Haven't really been taught in it that much. Ted Dasher was really helped me out at the first part of the season here, get me better at punting.
Okay, and quite interesting, because I think it's totally different techniques, punting and kicking in football, right?
Yeah, it's night and day, really, because it's two very different kicks. The one, like punts are very linear, like you go down a straight line, where kicking field goals and kickoffs are more, it's much more dynamic. Like you have to like it's a crossbody thing. So it's very different.
Quite amazing and impressive that you do both, I think, on a high level for the ELF. But after you were like two times in Germany at the GFL, you made the move over to the US. I think you were first in a kicker camp in Mobile, and then the Tampa Bay Buccaneers got interested. Was that like a dream come true, or what was that kind of a move for you?
It was definitely a dream come true. I went to a few kicking camps. I actually went to a kicking camp for 4 years, the same one, year after year, with no luck. And in 2019, like you said, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers were interested and invited me out for a workout. And everything went really fast. So they fly you out the night before, and then I had my workout. And I did my medical after that, where they check everything, is everything is how it's supposed to be. And then they cleared me for that. And then, yeah, they called me up to the room. I was just waiting for the shuttle bus, I thought. But yeah, they signed me in the room right after the workout. So from that point on, I was considered a Buccaneer. That was kind of crazy.
Not only Buccaneer, but like an official NFL player, I guess. But yeah. That ended after like, I don't know, 4 months in 2019. Or in 2018, what happened there? Did you lose the competition against the other guy, or how happened the end then?
So I didn't really get an explanation why I was cut, and I've tried to really figure out what I did wrong. I think for me it was a big transition coming from practicing two times a week, with 5 minutes of practice to 10 minutes of practice in Germany, going to a full-time professional setting. There was a big transition for me, and it took me a long time to acclimate there, both to the climate, but also to just getting into a rhythm. Okay, when do I want to sleep? When do I need to wake up to be ready for the day? Like, when do I need to drink water? All these things that you got to like figure out. And I think that most college players not take for granted, but I used to, that professional setting. Like, that was a big transition for me, and that's the reason I've told myself why I was cut. It took me too much time to get into a rhythm there. And they were not looking for a guy they could work on. They were looking for a guy that was ready to go. So that's what I told myself, because they didn't really give me a reason why I was cut.
Totally interesting to see how different the preparation and the importance of special teams players like kickers and punters are there. So being like a full-time player, is that a problem you see in Germany and other European markets, that it's the special teams part sometimes has such a small importance that you only practice a couple of minutes every day?
I think that it's I think there's not a lot of coaches in Europe has the knows a lot about special teams. I think I think that might be the problem, because it's a totally untapped potential, because it's a third part of the game. So you can make so much go your way if you control that part of the game, because as a punter, I can pin down their offense, so they have to start from within the 20 yard line, and that gives the defense such an advantage. They have to go 80 yards to score, and if you look at the numbers, it's mostly unlikely. Like there's a high probability that they won't score if they start within the 20. So that's a huge part of football that's not being utilized here in Europe that much. And then, of course, being a kicker that has a strong leg, our offense can almost all the time get points on the board, or at least have a shot at getting points on the board. So I see a lot of coaches and teams that are just like, they just need to get it done. They put out in the backups on special teams. And of course, you should use backups because they need to prove themselves, but you should also have some playmakers. And I think that's what that Ted Dasher, he really utilized that in the beginning of the season and really put an emphasis on the team. So even though that he was cut, like that big splash he made there still has ripple effects in our special teams.
But amazing to hear. I mean, Ted Dasher was a special teams coach in the NFL, so I think that's his specialty and then where he was really, really good at. Is that something... You said that in the beginning where he could really give you advice how to do it better, at least in punting, but also in kicking for you.
Yeah, it's huge for a kicker to have somebody else look at it. And like I said, in Europe, like most coaches hasn't really worked with like actual kickers and actual punters. It's usually been a guy that's a backup on one of the positions in either offense or defense that just goes and does it. So it's just also hard to work with. So I've really I had to have a lot of self discipline with practicing and really just being very critical about myself. So having an actual set of eyes that has worked with some of the best kickers and punters ever. Was so huge for me, that just made me so comfortable and just focusing on getting better, and actually having something to work on every time I stepped on the practice field.
But was the time in the NFL and in Tampa Bay something where you changed the way you practice here in Europe as well?
I think more it was my mindset that changed. I changed it really changed me a lot, because I had to deal with the letdown of being cut from a team. It hurts every time. Like, no, ask any NFL player that's been cut. It hurts. And for me, I had to really reevaluate, why do I play football? So for me, that was a big step for me into really focusing on how do I prepare myself to the best of my abilities in my practice, in my all my daily routines. And again, professionalism is a mindset. It doesn't just come with all the zeros on your check. It comes really from the mindset you have. I know a lot of guys that wasn't on any teams, but are highly professional in how they approach their game. So that was really something I picked up, and really just I was not relying only on talent, but also I was really focusing on how do I prepare myself in the best way, both mentally and physically.
Sounds really good. Is the NFL still your big goal or dream you're working for right now, or is it something where it's kind of closed for you right now because it's really difficult to get back to that level, although you maybe improved with the practice at the ELF or something like that?
I would say that, like I said, my mindset has changed of why I play football. So I would always... To get back to that, I would always put myself into the future, if that makes sense. So I would always be like, all right, the next goal is getting into the NFL. All right, I made it. All right, the next goal is making the team. The next step would be getting into training camp. Then it would be making the team. Then it would be the next thing. So you see where I'm getting at? Like I would always put myself into the future and not be in the present moment. And I think that's a big that was a big thing for me was now like, all right, I took a step back and just was enjoying the moment, enjoying kicking, enjoying playing football. And that was really my mindset. Then I went into this, the ELF was, I just need to have fun with kicking and I can't worry about where the kick is going to take me, because if I'm in the present moment and I have fun with what I'm doing, I know that I'm kicking to the best of my abilities. And that I just need to have faith in, all right, wherever I need to go, I'll get there eventually. But be patient about it and not worrying about it or trying to make something happen. So it's like it's really about the patience and being in the present moment.
But sounds really good to hear that for you the door is not closed yet, but something you don't focus on right now, but what's something where you believe that there is still a chance and there could be the next step in the future. So really nice to hear, because we talked about that a couple of times in this podcast already. It was always like, if there is one player who really has a realistic chance of playing at that level, it could be you, because there's not that many competition as on other positions. I think for Marvin London, for example, there are so many running backs coming year after year out of college, but kicking is something where we know that you are already on the level. And I think, which is really amazing to see, you have like the record for the longest field goal, 59 yards. Is that something where you got some feedback out of the US afterwards?
No, I haven't really heard anything. You got to remember that Europe is very, very far away from the NFL. It like getting eyes over here takes much more time than them just looking at any college or like any university in the States. So again, I think the best thing you can do as like to have this window is just really move with purpose, but without direction, if that makes sense. So you're not trying to take yourself somewhere. You just do it like intentionally and with to the best of your abilities, and then you will get to where you need to go, if that makes sense.
That totally makes sense. To get you into the conversation, Ole, you're really into the kicking and special teams part. Could you describe for me what kind of role Philip has there? How good is he compared to other European kickers?
He's way ahead of everyone else. I mean, if you just look at the stats right now from the ELF, he leads the league. Kickoffs, he's 4 yards better than anyone else. And he's attempted the most PATs, well, scored the most. His percentage is 15% better than the rest of the league. His field goal percentage is 10% better than the rest of the league. He, as you said, has the longest field goal by 3 yards, and the other one is by a former NFL kicker in Joshua Tavecchio. And to round that up, he's the leading punter by 7 yards, which is a universe in punting terms. So he's just way ahead of everyone else. He's clearly the best player in his position that we have in Europe.
Sounds really good, Philip. I mean, is that something you know about? Would that be your kind of suggestion of how your position is right now in Germany?
Can you rephrase the question? I'm not sure.
No, when you hear what Ole talks about how much better you are than the competition in the ELF. Is that something where you're on the one side proud of, but also something you expect from yourself? Or is that something where you believe, okay, it's closer than Ole told me right now?
Yeah, I really appreciate the kind words from Ole. Being a kicker, it's a different position because it really comes down to not only me, but again, the snap and the hold and the protection. But again, in the given moment, it's just me against myself. Whereas like if you're a running back or it's like another position on the field, like you're also very reliant on other players as well. And it's very dynamic. So, I try not to focus, like I said, on the future or the stats or anything. When I go in, I just try to have fun with it and really just try to really close off my mind, just focus on my breath and just enjoy the moment.
Sounds really good. I mean, the position, I think that's the interesting part, which is really different, is really being on the point. I mean, being freezed in the NFL by a timeout or something, it's always kind of mind games. Is that something you prepare kind of in a special way for?
I think with the more I've grown as a person, both age-wise, but also like mentally, like everything I've been through, I try to embrace everything that that's come my way, good and bad, and take it as either a lesson or I try to enjoy it, and really see, try to find meaning in everything that happens to me instead of just shying away from it and saying like, oh, I don't know why I got fired, I don't know this, I don't know this, and then everything is just happening to me. Instead, I'm trying to take charge of everything that happens to me and say like, all right, why did this happen to me? What do I need to change from, like, and what kind of mindset do I need to have about these things that are not going my way right now? And I take that onto the field as well. So I'm always grateful when I step onto the field. I'm grateful for the opportunity to do something that I love every day. I'm grateful for the missed kicks I do because there is a chance for me to get better. There's something that I can work on. I can still try to perfect something. So I'm always striving to become better and just become a better version of myself, both as a kicker and as a person. And these things, I like you said, being frozen in a game by timeout or something, that actually happened on my 59-yard field goal against Leipzig. So the judge behind me, or the referee behind me, came up to me and Jadrian and said, all right, hold up, wait a minute, like, you got to wait. And then we were waiting, and then the clock went down and they threw a flag, and I was like, hey, what's going on right now? And that was kind of like you were thrown out of rhythm. But again, you just got to reset your mind and said, all right, none of this matters. It's in the past. It's nothing can change this. It's just the same thing again. Focus on my breath and go through the rhythm. We were successful on that kick.
Really, really amazing. I saw that on TV, and it was a feeling of kicking in the NFL, I think. And it was quite the same, although we saw so many special teams in the ELF, which kind of not succeeded, and it was quite difficult. Just to get back how you came into the ELF, Max Parts was here in the podcast a couple of weeks ago, and he told us you were one guy they didn't have on any chart or any scouting report, and you came there and applied for the job and said, hey, I'm the right guy for you. How was that situation? Did you really come to Hamburg, and why Hamburg in the end?
So I was in the CFL draft, and was really trying to get ready for that. And I had a lot of interest from from a few teams there. And I was actually quite surprised when I wasn't picked, from all the phone calls I had with them. And during that time, I got a call from Max Potts, and he had shown some interest in me and told me about the situation in Hamburg, told me about the league, and told me about Ted Dasher mostly. And that was really what, like, why I wanted to come to Hamburg, because there was finally somebody on this side of the pond that could teach me something about kicking. And especially from a guy that has worked with some of the best specialists in the world. So for me, I was like, oh, I just need to pick that man's brain. He needs to push me so I can become better. So the CFL didn't work out, but again, things happen for a reason. And now I'm here and I'm enjoying it. So yeah, right now I'm Hamburg, enjoying it, and hopefully gonna have some fun next weekend.
Sounds really good. But with Ted Desha gone after a couple of weeks, was that a disappointment for you, or was it something you can understand and was fine for you in the end?
So again, I don't know why he was fired exactly. So for me, I wasn't really worried about anything. I was just like, I couldn't, like, this decision is out of my hands. I think for like the special teams, it's you wouldn't have found any better at special teams on this side of the pond again. So I can't really say anything about on that matter. But of course, it was a letdown for me on the kicking part, because now again, I was on myself on my own about like trying to get better. So I've just been trying to remember what he was saying to me, all the pointers he gave me, and just trying to work on these things. And that was especially punting. He helped me out a lot in my hold and my drop in my punt. So I really like just try to focus on that and just help up the team as much as I can do.
Really, really interesting to hear. Are you still in contact? Is he somebody who's like an ambassador in the US running around there telling people there's this really talented guy in Germany right now who would love to play in the NFL?
No, that's not Ted Dasher's job. That's my agent's job. So I texted Dasher after the news and told him I really appreciate everything he had done for me. And that we should stay in touch.
Sounds reasonable and interesting. If you still have an agent over on the other side of the sea, is that something where you have the feeling there is feedback right now and there is still interested? Because the situation right now is a bit more difficult than 2019, I think, because you have to go into quarantine to get over to the US and play there. But is there something where you're still in contact with NFL teams or any other interesting parts of the CFL draft disappointment for you?
So the thing is about and my agent told me about that. So this, like, all the European countries are on lockdown, so you can't really get in from these countries. So I would have to quarantine in a country that is not red flagged by the United States. So that really, like, for this season, it again, nothing is impossible, because when I was signed, that was impossible on paper. That's impossible. For me coming straight from the German league. So I'm never going to say anything is impossible. I'll just say, like, this might not be the right time. So I'm just going, again, like, I'm not going to focus on what could be and focus on what is.
Great, great to hear. And I think all thumbs pressed here from Germany. Ole, do you have anything more about more questions for Philipp?
Yeah, sure. Let's talk about that transition from Coach Dasher to Coach Normanson. Did anything change in practicing special teams, or did you just continue with the stuff that you did before?
We continued with the things we did. The coaching staff took me aside after it happened and expressed to me that they would still emphasize, like, put a lot of emphasis on special teams. And try to the best of their abilities to make me feel comfortable. So we talked it through and we have been focusing on it and really just, I've been trying to the best of my ability to express what I need and they've been trying to, on the best of their abilities. It's always tough in the middle of a season having to make changes. So we continued down the same path on special teams and and try to do the best to our abilities on special teams. And yeah, the numbers are pretty well right now, and we really focus on it and have our good players and playmakers in on special teams. So I think that's really important, and we're doing a really good job at this moment.
Yeah, you're doing an excellent job. That's for sure. Of course, have to rely on your teammates. And one of the teammates that usually is overlooked, even by a guy like myself, who's really into kicking and punting, is the long snapper. Maybe you can just introduce him to a little bit more of an audience.
Yeah, he's a really, really great guy. His name is Levi Cruz. And we were introduced to each other when I got here to Hamburg, and I liked him from the get-go because he's an amazing guy. He's a hard worker. He's a tough guy. He's a CrossFitter and a tight end. So I knew that I wouldn't have to worry about him being fatigued while running routes and then doing the snapping afterwards. So when he makes me feel very comfortable. And I know that the ball is going to be there every time. It's going to come in a straight line, and I don't have to worry about the rush because there's enough speed on his snap. So I'm really grateful to have met Levi and working with him.
Yeah, and as I said, he's also running routes because he's also a pretty good tight end as well. So how much practice time do you have each week? I mean, I hear from other kickers and punters that their practice time in the league is very limited. Is that a problem for you too?
No, like I said, I express myself to the coaching staff and about like we're all here for the same reason. We're here to win a championship, and I would never say anything that was for my own benefit. I'm only like my only focus when I'm here is what's best for this team, and how are we gonna have the best chances of winning. And we always have the special teams period, and we talk before the practice how many kicks I need to have at the given day. We do punting and or kickoff, field goals in pre-practice as well. And then we have an optional practice on Mondays if needed. Where just me, Levi, and Jadrian goes out and just works on operations.
So for those of you who've never witnessed an American football practice, what do you do when the others are running routes and practice to tackle and stuff? What's your routine there?
So, like I said, I always check in with my body. Usually, I just help out. Help do some snapping for the quarterbacks or whatever is needed. Just trying to be help the team as much as possible. Ask around like how guys are doing. Just talking to people if they need to express something to me, and then I'd go by myself on the other field and work on my on any given thing I want to work on. It could be my steps. It could be my onside kicks. It could be my drops on my punts. All these things that I always have one focus during the week. And again, like I said, I had to kind of like really have a lot of self-discipline because of being by myself. So that's how I do. I'm not really part of practice in that sense. So I always just hang by myself, and then whenever we get to the special teams periods, I'm stepping up, and then I'm doing my job.
You just mentioned the that you practice the drops on the punts. There are different techniques of doing a punt. How many techniques do you master?
So I have a few punts that I'm doing. I got my directional punts. I got my middle punt, and I got my pooch punt, and I'm working on another punt that's called a leaf punt.
Explain the difference between those punting types?
Yeah. So directionals are just a traditional punt, as known for American football, where you get a spiral on the football that's preferably having nose down. You work on direction. That's for the shorter kicks, and or if you have a really talented returner on the other end. So like I'm taking him out of the game by pinning it all the close to the sideline or even outside, again inside the 20. And the middle punt is for like if I need distance. If I'm pinned down, maybe I'm on the 5 yard line of my own 5 yard line and just need to get some distance on it. Then you want to have the middle punt, and again, that's the same traditional punt where you want to have the spiral with the nose down. Pooch punch, on the other hand, it was introduced in the NFL. I think was it the 80s? Darren Bennett, I know, All Star and Hall of Famer in the San Diego Chargers, punter for a very long time there. And I was great, lucky to meet him and work with him in the States. He used them from it's called the Aussie punt, where the ball is dropped it's dropped nose down and you hit, how do I say it? So you're hitting the front of the ball. So it's getting almost like a field goal, rotation on the football. It's done for like shorter punts. It's easier to control, and you can do a lot of varieties of these kicks. You can do banana kicks. You can do all these things, but it takes time to master these. So I have not implemented anything but the traditional, just straight up and down, and getting a lot of air time on it.
Yeah, and maybe we should explain that. The type of the way that you kick it, that's introduced to you by the drop. So it's basically just the way you hold the ball and then you drop it to your feet. That's the only difference in kicking it.
Yeah, correct.
So let us talk a little bit about the Canadian Football League. You mentioned you were in the global draft there. We just have Chris Itziala, who the punted also for Cologne. He just signed with Saskatchewan. So how are the chances of you going back to Canada?
At this point, I don't know. I performed well in this season. So let's see what happens. Again, I'm not really focused on the future. If I'm meant to play in the CFL, I'll probably get a call. If I'm not, then I'll continue here in the ELF, or I don't even know. Like I'm just focusing on the next game right now, so I'm not really worried about like what could be after the season. It's more for me. It's only thing I'm thinking about now is that we gotta beat the Panthers next Sunday.
Yeah, which will be difficult.
Ole, just like yeah. A little interruption for all the guests here. We would love your questions as well. We are talking already like 40 minutes with Phil, and it's really, really interesting. But if there's anybody who has a question in German or in English, come up, just give us a hint, and we take you up to the stage, and you can ask your question. We'd be really happy to have some user questions as well. And I think there's a first one. I would take him up, Ole, and then we continue with the interview. Krille.
Should I do?
Hello.
Hello. So I have a question.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Okay. At first, yeah, sorry for my very bad English, but I try. Let me try. Okay. What was your biggest challenge at NFL camp, physically and mentally? And who were your kicker competitors at Tampa Bay?
So my kicking competition when I was there was Cairo Santos, and he had been with the Chiefs for a few years before that, but he was my competition. He's a very, very precise kicker. I was really impressed by how precise he actually was. And the toughest part was definitely mentally, the constant pressure of knowing that you can get cut by at any point, and just getting into the rhythm, I would say that was the hardest part and most challenging part in Tampa.
Okay.
Answer okay for you? Any more questions?
Yes. No, it's okay for me. Thanks.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Krillem. Ole, you have more questions, I think, right?
Yeah, I have a few ones. First of all, you played both in the German Football League and now in the ELF. Can you explain a little bit about the differences, maybe on both on the training opportunities and also the playing field?
So, like most probably know, it's definitely the media attention and the media at the games, of course, a big difference. So the whole setup is run by a more like in a more professional mindset in the way of creating a show for the fans. So like we really like they're really trying to involve like the fans both with multiple camera angles, but also all the interviews and then just behind the scenes footage. So there's a big step in that direction with the media attention. I would say that's a big difference. Going to the field again, this is the first season, and I'm having a hard time there's got to be like all these teams need to find an identity. All these teams are new teams that are put together except the Panthers. Other than that, like everybody is like, it's a new team created. So there's a lot of identity that needs to be established by the teams. What kind of team is this? What kind of football is being played in these cities? So I think everybody is just like trying to get a hold of all these different things. See like with the future seasons to come, I think definitely like there's going to be some great football in TV.
The commissioner just announced today that there probably will be 12 teams next year. How excited would you be if the, let's say, Copenhagen Towers would join that league?
That'd be great. Like, it's going to be great for football in Denmark. I think definitely there's an audience. And the Towers is an established team. They have a great history. So, yeah, that could be really cool to get Copenhagen on the map.
And of course, the next question is, would you join him?
Again, I'm focused on the next game.
Ah, you're such a pro. speaking about that next game, you on the very first game day, you hit a game winner versus the Panthers. Tell us a little bit about that. How nervous are you, or is that just like any other kick? Your mindset is totally the same.
I'm not nervous. I'm excited. So it's how do you approach this in any situation? You can approach it out of fear or out of joy. And I think that's my mentality when I go into everything is like, there's a reason why I'm in this situation and I'm going to embrace this situation no matter what it is. And I'm going to go into any situation with excitement and not fear, because I think fear is going to lock you down. It's going to disrupt the flow of energy. And I think the excitement is a more light energy. And so I'm in any given situation, I'm always going to embrace everything. I'm going to embrace my heart beating. I'm going to embrace the fans. I'm gonna embrace that if I'm in their home field that people are booing at me, all these things, I'm gonna try and embrace it and put everything into the kick instead of shying away from it or locking it down or like that's my approach to kicking.
Now in the last game that you had, you missed two field goals, which appeared to be pretty good, but maybe a little bit too high. How much are you arguing that the ELF should have expanded goal quotes?
I think that in the beginning of this season, I think I was the only like really focused on kicking and I got this designated kicker and punter. And I think that after a few games, the league saw, all right, there's a big difference in having an actual kicker than somebody else just kicking, just getting the job done. And I think that it puts both an extra element into the game, but it's also like good for the media. And I think Germany has not, and Europe for that matter, has not been used to having like a good kickers on all the teams. And that's why you don't need to have tall goalposts. But you see all the teams have recruited kickers in season because they see how big of a difference it can make. And I think I'm sure that they the commissioner and then the ELF has noticed what this the special teams portion of the game can do. And I think that they should really consider having these extended goalposts because it can make or break a game. Yeah, I'm not going to argue with if the kick was good or not. It was deemed no good, then it's no good. But why should there be an argument about it? Let's just get the setting for there's no discussion about it. I can live with a bad kick, but it's a hard time because now it's happened twice for me. That when I go back and look on film, this kick does not look no good. But again, these are the settings we play under. So I think going into the next seasons, I think that this is something that should be considered by the league, that there should be some kind of standard of what kind of goalpost that needs to be on this in the games.
Now you're playing NFL rules, which are a little bit different, even on the kicking side. For example, you just have to line up within 1 yard on kickoffs. How difficult was that to implement, or was that really helpful having Ted Dasher there, who was just used to this?
It's, he was an NFL special teams coordinator, so anything he said was right in that matter. So anything he would that he would say, I would just listen to it. And all his approach to it was, when he put the starters in, he put the best players on the field, and was just worried about one thing, and that was winning. So I think that really shown us in the game what needed to be done. It was a great way to start the season.
And my final question, my favorite play in all of kicking is the onside kick. So how many variations of an onside kick do you have?
I have a few. I'm not gonna say how many I have. If somebody's listening, I got a few. I have a handful. Let's just put it like that.
Do you prefer bounce or something different?
Who knows?
staying secretive there. So maybe after the next couple of weeks, we can see that. Philip,
hopefully we don't have to. Hopefully we don't have to use them.
So you like to being in the lead and don't need to getting back there. We saw one of the onside kicks today for Leipzig, who tried to come back into the game. Did you watch the game Leipzig versus Breslau or Roslau, Wacklau?
No, I did not watch the game. I was driving at the point, so I couldn't.
But is the football game interesting for you there? Is that something you watch and you're interested in the game as well, or are you so focused on the special teams that that's something you're not really really enjoying anymore?
I like watching football here and there, but definitely what I love about football is kicking, and it's kicking myself. So that's what I enjoy.
Okay. Really, really interesting. How is the mood and the overall feeling for the Sea Devils right now? Can you describe how painful or how much it intervened your mood that you lost the last two games against your direct competition?
I have some adjustments I need to make from the past games, and that's what I'm focused on. I think everybody on the team is very focused on just focusing on what they can do, what how can they contribute to the team, and just be a great teammate, but also just focus on what you can control. And I think that's a great mindset going into any game. And we're just gonna do like we do, make the changes that needs to be made, and focus on the practice that we're doing, and then getting ready for the game.
Because for us, it was really interesting to kind of understand. I know your answer is really professional, but for us, it was interesting to see why the Sea Devils didn't perform at the same level for the last two games. Of course, you already qualified for the playoffs. It's all fine. You have the first seed. You don't need to perform on that level anymore. But on the other side, you had quite some important injuries, especially on the defense with Kasim, but also Bombek, who was out. There were quite some players who missed at least the last game. Is that something which kind of makes it more difficult to prepare for the playoff match, or is it something, this is a different game and the rest, the last couple of weeks doesn't matter anymore?
It's all like losing Bombek, of course, and Kasim are a big loss for the team, but it just gives an opportunity for the next guy to step up and prove himself.
And do you know if Bombek will be back for the last game? Probably the wrong person to ask, but nonetheless, I heard today in the TV broadcast that there's a chance for Bombek to be back, but no chance for Kasim for the first game. Is that information right? Can you tell us anything about that?
I don't know anything about that. You should probably ask the doctors.
Okay, or Max or Nomsen probably.
Yeah.
Okay, that's quite interesting. What do you expect for the game next week? Is there anything where you have the feeling, okay, now it's Breslau and the Panthers? Is that a team for you as a special teamer or a kicker or something in overall where you expect a special game?
No, I'm just gonna do what I do. I know what I have to do for us to be successful, and that's the only thing I'm focusing on. I'm focusing on what I control in the game, and I'm not really worried about the offense or the defense. I'm just gonna focus on the kickoff. I'm gonna focus on the punt and the field goal.
Sounds good. Again, the approach to our audience: if you have any questions, just give us a hint, and we get you on the stage. Love to have more questions like the one Krille had before. For me, there's one more topic I would love to talk with you about. You have a love for gin, and it's quite amazing that you started that career in California where you were a barkeeper. Tell us about your gin. What's so special about him?
The gin came from that I used to work in a gin bar in Copenhagen. So that's where I learned a lot of about gin, that gin is just not gin. It could be a lot of different things. And I've really found out that there's a million varieties of it and different styles. And when the opportunity came up and we had to figure out how it should taste, I really had a vision about having it I wanted just a great tasting neutral gin. So you can always work away from that, like have some kind of special gin. So I didn't want it to go in any direction. I wanted to have a gin for everybody that maybe is new to gin or just want a good product that they can pair with things that they like. So you can use it in a Negroni, you can use it in a gin tonic, you could use it in a gin Haas, you can use it in any like type of different way. So it suits your need, and I'm not going to tell you how to drink that gin.
Quite interesting to get deeper into it. Is that like more traditional kind of British gin then, or because like the modern ones from I don't know Spain and Portugal, also Germany in the south, are always with lots of herbs, and they always have an idea what they kind of want to taste with the gin in the first place. But that sounds more like a traditional approach, right?
Yeah, so I would call this a modern dry gin. It's modern in its flavors, but that how it's made, and it's like it's made with vacuum distilling some of the ingredients to get a more crisp flavor. It's made with 100% organic ingredients, and the flavor profile of this is the nose is there's a lot of lemongrass It's a very nice, it's not a boozy gin when you smell it. It's very nice and pleasant. And the body of the gin is quite fruity, made with aronia berries and raspberries. But you're not gonna think you're drinking a strawberry, no, a raspberry gin, for that matter. It's just a nice little balanced note of it.
Sounds a bit like a really a summer and sunny gin you want to drink while being at the beach, right?
Yeah, like I've had it in the wintertime too, and it's also pretty great there.
Okay, sounds really good. Are you selling it in Hamburg already? Is there any shop where you can buy it, or only online?
Right now, it's just online because it's we got to figure out the shipping part or how if we should establish something in here or down here, or I haven't really had the time in season to do this. This would be an off season thing where we would go out to some other vendors. Definitely, there's a market but for
would,
it.
I found wouldn't it be good at the merch shop at the Sea Devils Games? I believe that would be something which is selling really good there.
Yeah, if Max Potts is listening, just maybe we can get some gin for the VIPs in the VIP section or in the merch. That would be lovely.
Yeah, I think we would love to do testing sometime, because I think in Hamburg there are quite a lot of gin lovers, and we have quite some gin brands here in Hamburg, so it would be something which could really work here as well. And I mean, winning the next two games with important field goals could make you a local hero here, Philip. That would be quite interesting. I don't believe there are any more questions. Ole, what's about you?
I'm out of questions, and I usually don't drink alcohol, but I want a gin now.
Yeah, I saw that talked about a gin recipe on your podcast, right?
Yeah,
it was. Oh, sorry.
Go ahead, Phil.
It was for gin and tonic. I would call it like the summer version. It's on the sweeter side. It's with the Fever Tree Mediterranean with the blue label, some freshly cut strawberries, and a lime peel. So it's like you got the fresh and fruity notes to enhance the flavor of the gin. It's just nice in the summertime, definitely.
Sounds yeah. Really good. I think we need a bar in Hamburg serving that. Caro, you came.
They should definitely sell the gin at the Sea Devils Games, as you mentioned, and you know, add another 10 euros for autograph of you, so
yeah,
you can all make money there.
I think it would be getting cheaper for every field goal Phil hits. That would be quite nice. Caro joined us
like that adds to the value. No?
Yeah, Caro joined us just a couple of minutes ago. After having a busy afternoon, Caro, do you have any questions to Phil? And I mean, any question, you could be the normal last question you have as well. Oh, I think she's not hearing us, but then I will take over. Caro always asked Phil the last question to our guests, and that would be really, what is a person out of the ELF surroundings we need to talk about who really has some interesting stuff to tell for us?
Can you rephrase the question?
Do you have anybody in mind who's really like a really valuable guest we should talk about the ELF to, out of your team, out of your surroundings, who could give us some insights? Who would be the person you would invite to a podcast?
Let me think. On our team?
Around the ELF, somebody you would like to share some insights with, or who's having interesting infos for us?
I think you should invite Giorgio of the Dragons, Giorgio Tavecchio.
Okay, the former Raiders kicker who's having a great time in the ELF right now.
Exactly. He's a great guy, and he also has projects outside of football that's really interesting. I think he has Italian produce and products where he's like showing how to make it like a great pasta dish and all these things, and I like he showed me, and it's a really interesting project he got going on. So like definitely Giorgio, he's a great guy. I'm happy to call him my friend, and he's a great kicker. And he probably has some good stories to tell too.
That sounds like a good cooking show we could do. I have a good friend who's having an Italian Instagram account cooking, Giuseppe. Greetings to him. But I think I should invite him and you too and have a cooking show about football.
We can have a cooking and kicking.
Perfect. Then, that's as the last words today. It was a pleasure having you here, Philip. Thank you, Ole, for all the questions. But your answers were really, really interesting, really great to get an insight. It was really a pleasure hearing you two talking about all the techniques of punting and kicking and the routines you have. Yeah, we are really looking forward, Phil. I think it will be interesting to see the next couple of weeks. First, the two playoff rounds and then the All-Star game, where I think you will be present as well. We all wishing you good luck in your career, because I think there is still some interesting steps ahead. And will be great to see where the kicking game of you will be in the future. Thank you very much.
Thank you guys for having me here today, and it was awesome talking to you guys. It's a fun show that you guys got going on here. So I'm excited and looking forward for the next few weeks. And take care, everybody.
Yeah, thank you very much. Have a good night. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye.
Bye-bye.